Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. I'd like to welcome in our next guest, Susan J. Demas, who writes Capital Chronicles. Hello, Susan.
Hi, how are you, Jack?
Just fine. Well, what have we decided based on the budget in terms of winners and losers for 2010? What'd you make out of this week's activity?
Well, first and foremost, we actually have a budget, which is something that we haven't had for two of the last 3 years. So that's a step in the right direction. But, you know, there were some pretty big budget cuts, especially for community colleges and prisons, and our 15 universities that have been whacked really hard for the last decade. So we're seeing more and more cuts, but could have been a lot worse if we didn't have a lot of the stimulus money from Washington.
What does that tell us based on what young people will think of the state in terms of higher education and maybe the debt to the citizens who could be here or could move on and take the best and brightest somewhere else?
Well, I don't think it sends a very positive message. I mean, one of the things that Michigan has always had going for it is that we do have a top-notch public university system, and we've really tried to damage that seemingly as much as possible, which, you know, is pretty much eating your seed corn. You have huge tuition increases, which makes it very difficult for the average college student to get an education or walk out of there after 4 years without being seriously in debt. So, you know, this is something that's going to have a ripple effect for a very long time.
Did this budget really accomplish anything in terms of what Michigan needs to be down the road, or was this just deferring the inevitable?
No, we're, as usual, we're deferring the inevitable. I mean, you know, there was no serious attempt at government reforms, at tax restructuring, you know, so we might have a tax code that would make sense for those of us who live here and have businesses here or people who might want to come here. You know, we still have never taken an honest look at what we spend our $44 billion on and what we need to prioritize and what we can do more efficiently. So the next governor and the next legislature is going to have a really fun time with the $1.6 billion of red ink and all of those problems to deal with.
State employees can be pretty convenient scapegoats for the problem sometimes. And was this budget balanced unfairly for them? It seems as if they had to have reform on their retirement benefits, and a lot of other people did not have to sacrifice.
Well, you know, I'm not sure, you know, in terms of who didn't have to sacrifice. I mean, you know, we didn't see any kind of a tax increase. That's true. But the retirement reform for state workers is it's only here for 3 years, and it disappears, and they don't have to pay any more towards their retirement, unlike teachers. So, you know, all considering, I don't think that was too much of a raw deal for them. You know, a lot of...
Could have been a lot worse.
It could have been. And, you know, you see this at the local level and across the country. This is pretty much the trend. So I think we can only expect more moves in that direction.
We just had Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics, on the show. I'm sure you know him very well. And we asked him if we thought the new crop of senators and representatives would have the political will, would have any more courage and ability to compromise than this group. And he said he couldn't actually say that was going to happen. Do you see any indication that it's going to be any different next year?
The difference will be that we'll have a whole lot of new people who won't know anything, you know, at least half the legislature. We're going to have a turnover. The Senate will be filled with a lot of former House members, so they'll have some experience. But in the House, we're going to have a lot of new people who don't even know where the bathrooms are. So that's going to be a challenge. And, you know, one of the big influences out there in this election seems to be the Tea Party. at least on the Republican Party, and their mantra is don't compromise on anything. So that's probably not a good sign if you're somebody who wants to see the parties get together on anything.
Do you see most people in the state of Michigan having a centrist philosophy or center-right, as a lot of people are talking now, that there is really no place for them to feel 100% comfortable in an election like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that. There are a lot of people who tend to be a little more economically conservative, but socially liberal or moderate, and it's hard to find a place in either party. But, you know, I think overall the mood is just frustration, and people are pretty disgusted with how things are. And so whoever's in power is going to be in trouble. And right now there are more Democrats in power.
Susan, last question. Are you surprised that Mike Cox did not react differently with the situation with his assistant this week?
I don't think that he looked particularly good on TV. He seemed rather uncomfortable with the situation. But, you know, I'm not a legal expert. I don't really know what the right decision was. I don't know what kind of liability you open yourself up to. I mean, certainly Mr. Chevelle seems like he has some serious issues he should deal with. But he did this on his own time, so I don't really know what the right thing was for Mike Cox to do, to be honest.
All right. Susan J. Demas, our guest. She writes Capital Chronicles, and you can read them in papers all around the state. I usually see it at mlive.com. Susan, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.